broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies we seek truth. Amid truth we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, good evening out there to Lottie Dottie and every other body, and a hearty hello to a great big shout out to all you MAGA patriots, maybe in an honor to those on the road folks, those people just happening by, and a salute to our Space Force Rangers as well. We want to welcome you here to Holistic Truth. It is Wednesday, August 16th, 2023, and we continue to broadcast live from the High Mountain Desert, and we continue to hold a space of peace, love, and grace and solidarity with the patriots worldwide, as the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. Our goal today, as it is every day, is to help relieve suffering through empowerment by shining our light on and getting to the holistic truth. I am your host, Leander Grace, and it is an amazing time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of this one thing. Now, for those of you joining us for the first time, before we define this term for you, I just want to say welcome back to the airwaves. I've been off for about a week, and let me tell you a little bit about what happened. I had one of those headaches, and we'll talk about that a little further on in the program, but I just want to let you know I'm back. Only an hour program this evening. Got to take it a little slow. Even at 12% of brightness, my screen is hurting my eyes, and so reading becomes a challenge, but we'll recover. It's no big deal. We're going to get this. So for those of you joining us here for the first time, we're defining this term for you, holistic truth. Just as holistic medicine refers to the total care of the human body through the mind, body, and spirit, holistic truth refers to the viewing, treating, and healing. That's right. We're going to talk about some healing of our human experience through empathy, compassion, leading us ultimately to forgiveness for those who are willing. And we're going to talk about willingness a little bit on the program tonight too. So we'll talk about it all, the physical and the metaphysical, the scriptural and the secular, historical, hysterical, and politically mundane. And we'll be blowing up all them little non-sequiturs as well. So remember too, as you listen to the podcast or the broadcast, pod people, we love you too. Question everything. We're not part of the legacy media. I do not expect you to take me at my word. It's not my place to convince you. I'm here to shed some light. So take on only what is yours. Not everything's for everyone. Eat the watermelon and spit out the seeds. Keep close what's truth and heals, and discard what offends your spirit. My goodness, guys, I tell you what, I had to take some days off immediately after last week's broadcast. I had the beginning onset of a migraine, and that totally took me off air for Friday. So I was dealing with an extended period of owiness, and it seems as though there's a virus going on as well, and that kind of triggered a lot of different things. There was a cascading effect, and well, you know, I guess I needed the rest anyway, because that's exactly what was going to happen. Spent some days without the light, and that's just the way that needed to happen for a while. So, but the Great Awakening is upon us, and change is upon us. And before we get talking too much about all that stuff, what I do want to bring to the fore is when my first post, when I came up, when I got my head out of, you know, I could see the light, I could actually read without my eyeballs bugging out. The first thing that I realized when I went onto the news and listened to it, you know, what I could, is that the media, just through this fourth indictment, yeah, he said there'd be another one, the fourth indictment of Donald J. Trump that they're trying, it's now they're arguing an unanswerable question. It's a philosophical question. It's a mind-reading question of whether President Trump believed the election was stolen. Well, duh. That's not an argument. That's not a litigating point. It really cannot be. But what they're not focusing on is a blatant fact backed up by unquestionable evidence that the election, in fact, was stolen. They're not talking about the stolen election anymore. And yeah, it gives me a headache just thinking about it. We will last for an hour, but we're going to go ahead and muddle through. So I'm going to ask for those listening live, if you'll go ahead and just say up a little prayer, a little healing thing for my head so we can get through the broadcast. We've got some things to bring. It's going to be fun. It's not heavy duty, but it is in the face. We do need to talk about some things and just shine the light and say this is the way it is. What we're not discussing is the corrupt DOJ and the district judges that refuse to see, hear, or consider any evidence submitted by anyone anywhere regarding the stolen election. Evidence is irrefutable, and it's like a mound of it, a heap. It's like more evidence than most people could even wade through, and it's all and you know, I'm one for saying that not all data is evidence and not all evidence is proof, but this is proof, unquestionable proof, when you take especially the cast vote records that go up and down and up and down, and we're losing votes in the middle of the count. That's just not supposed to happen. That's an algorithm. It's very plain. It's obvious to even the most casual observer that there was hootenanny going on. There was some, I want to say effery afoot. Yeah, there was effery afoot. And the election was stolen when you need to give it back. And now they want to welcome you to the chat room. And now what they're saying, for instance, is now they're arguing not the point of a stolen election, but now they've moved it all the way through these indictments to change the narrative so that the question that is now on the lips of the mainstream media, or at least some of the mainstream media, is, now, do you think that President Trump really believed it was stolen, or do you think that he No. It's not a matter of whether President Trump believed it was stolen or not. The production was stolen beyond a shadow of a doubt, and we want it back. You don't get to keep what you stole. You don't get to. And the reason why they're not getting away with it, they won't get away with it. And the reason that they're not getting away with it is, well, I'll get to that here in just a minute. Let's go ahead and talk about it. Let's go ahead and bring it to the fore. I went ahead and downloaded some audio before the broadcast. We're going to have a little bit of audio in tonight's broadcast to make it go by. Well, just they tell the story better than I do, so we might as well let them do the telling of it. So before we get all the way into the other stuff, I want to do just a small compare and contrast. First of all, we have this blithering idiot, the Biden, right, in front of the screen. Evidently he's still pretending president, and evidently the media is still allowing and reporting on the Biden pretending president. And so as he pretends president, he doesn't know much, he doesn't seem to care about much, and he doesn't seem to be able to speak about much. It doesn't seem as though the wires in his brain are connected enough to spit words out. We've seen this puppet control before. We understand what's going on. Is either he's really, really demented, or he's playing it so he doesn't have to stand trial. Pick one, because one or the other, or perhaps both, could be true. But this is what a real president sounds like. You know, and I'm talking about the tragic fires in Hawaii, the quote-unquote wild fires in Hawaii. This is what a real president
says. I'd like to express my sympathy and warmest regards to the people of Hawaii, and specifically all of those who have been so gravely and irreparably hurt by the tragedy of the wildfires in Maui, something the likes of which have seldom been seen anywhere at any time. The death caused by this catastrophic event will be far worse than ever expected now that houses and cars and other areas are being inspected. The sad thing is it should never have happened. Our government was not prepared, and very importantly, the aftermath is going very poorly, with the governor of the island wanting to do nothing but blame it on global warming and other things that just happened to pop into his head. When asked about it today, as he was getting into a car, perhaps coming home from the beach, where he has been spending a great deal of time, Crooked Joe Biden, the most incompetent president in the history of our country, with a laugh and a smile, said he had no comment on the death and the tragedy. To say no comment is oftentimes fine, but to be smiling when you say it, especially against such a tragedy as this, is absolutely horrible and unacceptable. It is a disgraceful thing that Joe Biden refuses to help or comment on the tragedy in Maui, just as he refused to help or comment on the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, for a very, very long time. In any event, hopefully everyone will be able to pull together so that a horrible situation does not get even worse. To the families affected, I give you my love and sympathy. Nothing can ever replace your loved ones, but you will always have the memories and will feel their great love surrounding and embracing you. Together, we will continue to carry their legacy forward, and I love you all very much. Thank you.
That's what a real president, that's what the real president sounds like, President Donald J. Trump in a time of crisis. I remember when he was in front and center from the Oval Office that if there was a tragedy, he was on site. And he wasn't just on site directing with everybody standing back. He was talking to the people and finding out what the people needed, not what the government officials would like to see come in, but what the people needed, because the people know better than anybody else what it is that they need to get through a tragedy. And what we're seeing is, in the absence of the government, the people, again, in Lahaina, in Maui, they're pulling together. Now, I do see that these wildfires look a lot like the same kind of wildfires that we saw in Paradise, California, just saying. There's a lot of melted metal in trees standing, and I think that might deserve some of our further attention. I'm not going to give that any more attention than that on the air tonight. I do want to go ahead and bring also to the airways something that you may or you may not be aware of, and that was a little powwow kind of thingy bopper. Yeah, these are the official terms that we're using. The Election Crime Bureau, which had none other than Mike Lindell, Steve Bannon, General Michael Flynn, and then Kurt Olson as well, speaking about still the stolen election. Why? Because they stole it, and they don't get to keep it. We're going to fight this. Why? Because this is worth fighting for. And we have a stellar team, a very well-capable team leading the way and rowing the hoe. Hoe in the row, that's what you do, yet for us to go forward so that we can at the ballot box have our votes count, so that we can uncover all of the dastardly deeds that were going on, right? And all and hopefully, with enough people paying attention, that the courts aren't going to be able to allow, because remember, they're ignoring the Justice Department and the district judges, they're ignoring the evidence. And instead of viewing the evidence, they have now turned it around and said that President Donald J. Trump knew that the election wasn't stolen, but chose to create this seditious kind of thing going on in Georgia. It's just a bunch of bullshit. It's all crap. That's all it is. They just keep running it, hoping to wear us out, that we'll stop fighting for what is ours and stop fighting for what is right. And I hope, you know, that the American people don't, that we keep going, because, you know, it is Donald J. Trump that's in the arena. He's the one that's going for it. But let's listen for a little bit. Now, this is a little bit lengthy of an audio. This is a little greater than 5 minutes. We're going to have some audio heavy in the beginning of the program and not so much audio heavy in the evening. But this is important, in the second part. But this is important information to bring forward. So this is General Michael Flynn and the panel, and Mr. Olson, too.
If the judge had allowed it in, I understand it's a lot of controversy about the judge in Delaware and what was going on. But if the judge had allowed the information in, is there any doubt in your mind that Murdoch's lawyers would have been able to make a case that the machines were a thing in stealing the election?
Yes.
No doubt in your mind?
No doubt in my mind.
And you're saying they waved off because they're part of this whole thing, that they don't mind the elections being stolen. The last thing they want to see is actually getting rid of machines and going to paper ballots, one-day vote, count them up like France, and we know by 11 o'clock at night what's happened.
Because it's more important to keep the people from controlling the elections. That's what's more important for them. They're controlling elections, and it's the agenda that they are trying to implement, the globalist agenda. $787 million is a pittance to what they hope to make from this. That's it. I mean, it's really that simple.
And it's not, I mean, we're talking about what they're going to make. What they think that they're going to make is the United States of America. This nation, so if you had one bank on the planet, in that bank would be $180 trillion, about the financial size scale of the world, about $180 trillion, one bank. In that bank account, there's only three bank holders, right? The number one bank holder that owns a third of that wealth is the United States of America. The next 10 countries on the planet own the next third, and the rest of the world own the rest of it. That's why they want the United States of America. And this globalist agenda has been going on for 50 years, probably longer, but at least 50 years. These guys knew that the real plan, we wouldn't even be having this. We shouldn't be doing this, because it's this system, this election system, everything that's underneath all these machines, all these ballots, it belongs to us. We pay for every single bit of it. Every single bit of it. These people, they want to control the United States of America. When we talk about a globalist elite, it's not some you know, ethereal thing up there. These are real people with real faces, real names, a real purpose, real intent, and they have a lot of resources. You know, the one thing that we can beat them on is the resources that are sitting in this room, and you represent, I mean, what scares everybody, what scares all the media, what scares all these globalist elites is that people like you, and there's about 1,000, maybe 1,500 in here today, you represent tens of millions of Americans.
Yes, that's right.
That's the hope.
That's right.
That's the resource.
You are a vanguard for revolution. You're a cadre for revolutionary change to get this country back to the republic that was bequeathed to us. That's why they hate you.
Right.
That's why they fear you. And that's why they're trying to destroy you.
You're the commanders. You need to go back out. It's like disciples, if you want to put it in biblical terms. You are apostles. You are anointed to go back out to your states and activate as many people as you can. And I know that there's a lot of people that aren't here today that are already doing that kind of stuff across this country. I mean, how many of a lot of people in the last 24 hours here have told me, hey, I heard you say something. I heard Mike Lindell say something. I heard Steve Bannon say, get involved. I did. I'm now on my school board. I'm a council recorder or whatever. Whatever the jobs are, we need to take this country back at the local level. We're not going to take it back in Washington, D.C. right now. Okay, not right now. Right now, we take it back at the local level. One precinct, one county at a time. And you tell anybody, you tell any of these sons of guns out there, any of these, and you know what? We've elected a lot of these people, and we got to stop doing that. But you tell anybody, you say, that piece of equipment, that piece of paper, that belongs to me. I am a United States taxpayer. Nothing in our election system, and I mean nothing, belongs to anybody else but we the people. This country, and I'm telling you, this is why I get so, I am beyond the sort of the, comp, you know, I am beyond the nonsense stage of my life, folks. Okay?
And, Mike Flynn's entered the danger zone.
Yeah. And you, but you know, when you think about warfare, because, oh my God, they're going to make me a domestic terrorist because I said warfare, right? When you think about warfare, what Steve just said about being the vanguard, being soldiers out there, right? Being people who are willing to step up and lead. The political class in this country has crushed our country.
Amen.
And I know that there's a few politicians that we had in here, you know, over the last day here, you know, and I'm looking at them going, and I first thing I say is, are you brand new politician, or how long have you been in office? And if I hear they've been in an office for, like, you know, more than a term or two, I'm like, you need to leave. You need to leave because you're doing us no good. And don't go back to your states and fall into the trap that a lot of us do. Don't fall into the trap that you go back and some senator or some congressman or some local elected official who's a, you know, a muckety muck or whatever, they you know, they treat you like, oh, you're wonderful. You go, oh, he's really good. It's all those other people. No. It's the people that we have put into office.
It's the people that we have put into office already. And that was, of course, General Michael Flynn. And, you know, and what part of what he said is not true? And what I like about what General Flynn also has to say is he gives the credit to we the people, to those who are spreading the truth, and I appreciate that. So here's another 1.5 minute, and then we'll go ahead and move on. But here's another 1.5 minute little thing from General from the Election Crime Bureau here, and let's hear with how they wrap this up.
But just like everything else, when it comes to evil, their arrogance prevails, and they are so arrogant, and they just figured, let's just do it now, let's get it over with. And we'll just
You know why? Because they never planned on you.
Because they never planned on you.
Ever. They didn't know that citizens would rise up to do this.
They didn't think that we're going to go back to our founders, right? We're going to – what's in the DNA of an American citizen is something called freedom, okay? It's in our DNA. And I'll tell you, you don't fight an enemy because you hate the enemy. You fight an enemy because you love your country. Okay? You love your faith. You love your family. And that's why we're fighting. Because I know, and I look around, there was a couple of young people here today that had young kids here today. You know, my mom used to call it forced family fun, right? Dragging the kids to some event. But when I look at those children, and thank you for the people that brought their children here to these things, you know, even though they don't understand what's going on, but you're bringing them because that's what we're doing. We're doing this. When I look around the audience here, and there's a lot of relatively young people, but the generation that I'm a part of, the generation that we're a part of, we've got to take this country back because the future generations are working their asses off, and little babies are trying to grow up, and we're trying to keep them from what, drag queen hour? I mean, come on, folks. We are not going to have this. We're not going to have this in this country. Enough is enough.
Sure. Definitively stated, enough is enough. And I'm with General Flynn on that. It wears me out to turn the television on and hear the argument over whether it should be lawful to mutilate a child in any way, for any reason, at all and ever, at anywhere. Why are we even arguing about whether grown men should dress up women as women and dance sexually in front of children? Why is that even something that we think we need to argue? How far are we gone? I want to say this. I do not believe, personally, from when I, and sometimes it gives me a headache, and right now it's a very low connection that I have because the Guardians are very, very, very respectful about, you know, the little viral thing that's going on and the little hiccups and stuff. So, but when I look out there, it's not the majority of the population. It is the majority of the media, or a majority of the time of the media, that announce these things as if there's something, as if there's something that we need to litigate. Why? Because if we're litigating 100 million tiny useless fires that should never come to the judge's bench in the first place, because children are protected from mutilation, right? Right? We shouldn't have to write a law, sexual mutilation or otherwise. I remember it wasn't too long ago that we had a Sturm, a very firm and stern stance against female genital mutilation because of the Muslim practices of doing this, and now all of a sudden we want to cut off perfectly healthy breasts from perfectly healthy young ladies, or we want to cut off the penis of a perfectly healthy young male. Why are we doing this to our children? What social experiment do we think that we have a right to put them through? We need to check it. Illegal? It is illegal to mutilate a child. Do we need to make a law? Evidently so. Evidently so. And it's only because they brought the argument. What, Leanna Grace? The only reason we need to pass the law is because they put the argument in our face. They said, they have a right to do this to their children. Children who don't have a right to even buy tobacco have a right to make these calls. This is insane. And it's a one-way ticket to an inflammation of Munchausen syndrome by proxy for all these sick women who want something to talk about their children. sick parents. It's a sickness, and that it needs to be stopped. So we went from that to that, and there you have it. But what's pushing this agenda? What's pushing the agenda is the media. Now, it was back in 2016 or 2017, maybe it was 2018, when they, on ABC News or Good Morning America or ABC Morning Now or Have Coffee with a Network, whatever the name of the program was, they were airing this young man by the name of Desmond is Amazing. And it was at that point that I realized that Traffic in Children had gone mainstream and it was seeking our approval on the major networks, and it was getting it to the point where Netflix was having a program about a small child who doesn't know up from down, left from right, or how to go in and out the door about his transgender experience. And it was blatant child abuse simply to have the child film it, to engage in that type of dialogue. And yet it was nearly allowed. And that's where the adversary thought we were ready to go. And we fooled them, did we not? We're not going there. We're stopping it. We're saying no. And we're saying no now. And we have champions on the front line with enough guts and spine and backup and legal know-how to fight these battles that need to be fought in the way that they need to fight, that you, that the average American, you and I, are not equipped to fight. And since we know that these legal eagles, those who are fighting for us, those who are supporting us, those who are going to the courtrooms to argue these battles for us, should we not support them and pray for them daily? I think so. And the one thing I do, if nothing else, want everybody to take away from this program is...
Trump won and you know it. Trump won and you know it.
The fake news.
Yeah, we know it. We know he won. But the fake news will never show it. Not even Fox News. You know, and I was watching that particular channel when I watched the numbers flip. I was watching CNN because I was at a neighbor's house. We were watching the returns and we looked at each other and they were sweating bullets because they were not voting for Trump. And I wasn't sweating bullets because I could do math and I saw the numbers and all of a sudden the numbers turned upside down and they looked at me and I looked at them and they said, "What happened?" I said, "I don't know." You know, and the first thing that went through my mind is effery is afoot. That's the only thing that it can be. Right? So Trump won, and you know it. In fact, you know, now they have this Republican debate coming up. It's very funny to me. I turned on the TV for about 20 minutes the other day, and I heard this blob guy, big old this slob, I think they called him Chris Christie, and he was saying that he just knew that Trump was going to wait until the last minute and he was going to all of a sudden, no, first of all, here's this thing. I hope and pray that President Donald J. Trump does not show up for the junior varsity debate team. I mean, you know, he's the champion. He's already proven it. He has nothing to prove to we the people. Of course, the media wants to goad him into it. And then, of course, Chris Christie says, "I think he will at the last minute." Well, they have it rigged so that in order for anybody to participate in the debate, they have to take an oath, Well, is that oath going to supersede your oath to the Constitution? Is that oath going to supersede any other oath that you took? Are you going to swear to follow somebody blindly and you don't know who it is that the deep state wants to appoint? Really? Just a blind agreement to say, yeah, okay, whoever they choose, all but no. Because if for some reason someone who's not equipped, like, you know, the Biden, to run office gets in, why would you back that? That's hypocritical. That's going along to get along, and that's not standing up for the truth in any regard. And I would be very disappointed if he signed some kind of an agreement to back somebody. That's ridiculous. See how they trap with the oaths? In order for you to participate, you have to promise. Really? That's not what the Constitution says. And if they want to get into a little debate thing, you know, and do it, fine. But I don't see any reason for our champion to get into the arena so that a whole bunch of amateurs can score counting coups and the ratings can be increased. In fact, you know what? Fox News even knows it. I'm just going to share a little bit of what El Presidente shared. I'm just going to go ahead and bring
it up. Even though President Trump is kicking everyone's ass in the primary polls.
We're still trying to set him up with our bullshit Republican primary debate.
I mean, maybe he'll show up.
And we're just hoping everyone takes shots at him so we can help Ron DeSantis.
Because we're Fox News.
And we suck.
And we don't really give a shit.
About our viewers' opinion.
We only care about getting a big, fat paycheck.
And about not getting fired like Tucker Carlson.
First Republican primary debate by Martha McCallum and Brett Baier.
Because we're Fox News and we suck.
They suck. And I love it. And then it was on election night after they went ahead and flipped the numbers on CNN and everybody seemed to follow. Then we went over and this Fox News guy, this little shrinky dude with glasses comes on and evidently he's some hotshot. And, you know, he says, no, Fox News is going to call it, you know, idiots all. Go get a drink. But that's okay because we know they stole it. And we're going to have them give it back. And when we come back from the break, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back to the break, we're going to talk about why repentance comes before forgiveness. Remember, the title of tonight's broadcast is The Great Awakening and the Elephants, plural, in the Room. Well, we're going to talk about both of them. The 2020 election was stolen. Give it back. And where we left off last week, and I didn't get a chance to finish up Friday, and Father says, you know, there's no guarantee the headache won't be back on Friday, so let's go ahead and get this out now. Why repentance comes before forgiveness, and we want to straighten out a couple of things, too, about what grace is and what it is not. It's not reckless. Grace isn't reckless, and forgiveness isn't automatic. Is it? We'll have to talk about that when we come back from the other side of the break. But before we do, I do want to give another further tribute to General Flynn with the Digital Soldiers here. 2.5 minutes, just about. We'll be back. I am your host, Leanna Grace, broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. This is Holistic Truth.
My fellow Americans, patriots of the world, it is time we rise as one. Collectively shine our light on the darkness that we live amongst. It is time to claim our victory and restore this world as it was meant to be. We truly can achieve heaven on earth if we simply believe. Are we not the ones we've been waiting for? Is this not our destiny? Our call out to you. Find it in your soul to shine your light brighter than you have ever known. I call out to you. Make it clear we are the protectors of our home.
We have an army of digital soldiers. We have an army of digital soldiers.
Digital soldier on the scene, dropping memes. Y'all know what to do. We collective, not few. You and I, thank you. The whole world thanks you, that they do, that they do, huh? Yeah. Not about I, not about one guy, not about man's time,
No. It's about what's in our minds. There's a fine line to truth and lies while holding the front line. Go! We are.
We have an army.
Is about replacing a failed and corrupt, and when I say corrupt, I'm talking about totally corrupt, political establishment with a new government controlled by you, the American people. There is nothing the political establishment will not do, no lie that they won't tell.
Lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. No, your silence will not protect you. We gotta speak the truth even when our voice shakes, and sometimes it does. I am your host, Leander Grace. Welcome back here to Holistic Truth. This is a one-hour broadcast this evening. We're gonna ease back in to stuff as it is after a little brief time off of the air. You know, the second part of the broadcast, we're gonna talk about repentance. We're gonna talk about forgiveness and why repentance comes before forgiveness. Is this new? Is this topic of repentance comes before forgiveness, is this New Testament only kind of doctrine stuff? Is this just a New Testament claim? And I'm going to say no. This has always been the case, and if you find back all the way to the beginning of the scriptures, the first use of the word forgiveness, and I'm going to go ahead and just do that right now, the first use of the word forgiveness is from Psalm 134, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. That was the first use that I see of forgiveness. The word straight out. Now, there's other forms of it. There's pardon, there's this, there's that, the other. But the first use of the word forgiveness as a word is Psalm 134. And the second is in my search, and this is just through the King James authorized version, using the word forgiveness. The next use is in Mark 3:29, where it says, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath neither forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now, because they said he hath an unclean spirit, then it can be, okay, so that was in Mark when they're talking about that. But if you blaspheme against the Holy, hath neither forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Great, you know, forgiveness isn't just willy-nilly stuff. And again, in Acts 5:31, it says, him that hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So if forgiveness seems to be relatively new, and there's all kinds of things, there's pardon and there's this, and I will pardon you, and there's other versions of the word, so it's not a brand new thing, but repentance always came before forgiveness. Now remember, with Abraham, it was simply his faith was counted to him as righteousness, and he had a covering on him, and he did the will of God. And anything that God asked him to do, he did it. So what is this thing called grace and forgiveness and all of these things that we talk about? And how is it that if we know, because the scriptures say so, that repentance comes before forgiveness, how is it so many times we hear conversations along these lines? oh, well, I know I shouldn't do it, but God will forgive me, right? Do we talk that way about our actions in view of the Father through Christ's grace, through the forgiveness? Because we're told further on by Paul that once you reach this point of salvation, which is the point of radical grace and forgiveness, and we'll talk about that, forgiveness takes a different toll. If our heart becomes unright with God, and just because there is a forgiveness of the sin does not mean that there's not going to be a lesson for a learning, because it doesn't anywhere in the scriptures say the Holy Spirit will come to inhabit anything except a contrite heart. What, Leanna Grace? Repentance comes before forgiveness. It becomes, if not so, if the cart goes before the horse, if we try to put forgiveness before the repentance, there remains an elephant in the room. There remains an elephant in the room. Just as with the stolen election that is not right, we want to give it back, we want to get it back, and we're going to go ahead and fight for it and prove the case, however long it takes, we're not going to give up. It needs to be made right. Why? So we can trust it. It needs to be made right so we can trust it. Otherwise, it remains an elephant in the room. All of the media and everybody else who says, just forgive it and move on. No, 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 no. Make it right. Get right. And then we can forgive it. That's the way this works. That's the way this has always worked. Even during the times of the wilderness wanderings, even during the time of the temple worship, the sacrifices themselves were never intended. It never were able to, the scriptures tell us, to change a person's heart, no more than our extension of grace to someone who habitually offends and has no contriteness of heart and no repentance whatsoever. It does their character no good, and the elephant remains in the room, and we continue to be timid to the point of ineffectual, because we've decided that we can forgive without this action, without any signs of repentance. You got to make it right. Even the law says you got to make it right. That doesn't mean, now what do the scriptures tell us? The wages of sin is death. Okay, so the forgiveness is not death. That doesn't mean there's not something to learn. That doesn't mean that you don't have to make things right. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be a point of repentance. And if you have offended against your brother in your heart with hate, even if your brother doesn't know it, the Father does. And how much forgiveness is he going to extend to you if you have hate in your heart for somebody else? Now remember, forgiveness is not saying that the action was okay. That's not what that is. Forgiveness means that recompense has been made. Repentance, you make it right. It's not just a decision. Sometimes it's enough, but it's not just a decision to not do that thing again. If harm was caused to another one, all through the scripture says, make it right. Go to your brother and make it right. It doesn't say, well, God will forgive me, he'll have to get over it. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say, God will forgive me, he'll have to get over it. Nowhere. And yet it seems to be the lackadaisical way that some Christians have come to deal with grace, have come to deal with the idea of forgiveness, like it's built in, like it's like, oh, well, you know, boom. You say, well, Leanna Grace, then what is this radical forgiveness, radical grace and forgiveness that you talked about? That is the point of salvation. And at the point of salvation, with a contrite heart, that is where grace can move in. That's when Holy Spirit can move into your heart, because there's a point of realization of how we really are, comparatively speaking, to the account that God holds for us. can we make? No. But it's more about the sins against our brothers. It's more about the offenses and the harms and the hurts that we've done to each other. Because God knows that there's no way we can make it up to him. Thank you, Jesus, for the miracle of the cross. Because there's no way we can repent enough to the Father to make it right. But can we not, knowing that we have forgiveness from the Father, also extend that same grace to one another? And if we are extending grace to one another, should we not also be mindful that God extends grace to us as we extend it to others? He extends forgiveness to us as we forgive it to others. Remember the servant, the wicked servant, the one that was forgiven of all of his debt, and he immediately went out and started holding everybody else accountable. He extended zero grace to anybody else. So what did the ruler do? He bring it back in. I'm taking all that forgiveness back. Oh, what? Yeah. He removed the grace and held him into account. Must be a reason the Savior included that story for us to ponder when we're thinking about how we're treating each other. So the radical grace and radical forgiveness comes at the point of salvation. Paul tells us, know ye not that if you start going astray and start doing hunky dunky wunky wunky afterwards, and your heart becomes hardened in it. It's not this you fell and you oops and it's like I made a bad day. Not that. But when your heart is involved, you're like, no, I'm intentionally going out and doing stupid stuff against God. It's not going to be easy. God may require you to crawl back sometimes. You say, Leanna Grace, that's harsh. Why is that harsh? Does he not chastise those he loves? So, yes, repentance comes before forgiveness. And the forgiveness stands. And if it's brought up again after forgiveness and grace has been extended, then it's the person who's bringing it up again. It's their puke, not yours. But there's also a point where the forgiveness occurs, especially if it's a face-to-face offense. There needs to be face-to-face forgiveness, face-to-face repentance. Is that not what the scriptures tell us? Go to the one that you've offended. Not hear it through the grapevine. Not just let it be assumed. Why? Because there's an elephant in the room. Now, let's say you're in a situation where you want to forgive it, but you know there's some hesitation because you know there's unfinished business. And well, then there's the willingness to forgive. The willingness to forgive matters. And you say, well, Leanna Grace, what's an example of a will? Making a list of all persons we had harmed, became willing to make amends to them all. Do you always have an opportunity? No. And what's that from? That is from a 12-step program of recovery. Something that, you know, now I got to be very careful here. I am not a member of a 12-step program of recovery. I'm very familiar with 12-step programs of recovery. And I assure you that they know the value of forgiveness and grace and making amends and seeing things as they are, including oneself, knowing yourself. And the difference, I think, between the common person, what I've learned from these folks, from the common person and from those who really need this program to survive, is they need this program to survive. They are being forced into good thoughts, forced into right thinking, forced, because the wages of them drinking is death. So they already know their life is on the line. I may go ahead and have some guests on the program at that, but understand that there's anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film, so that's not likely to happen either. There's a lot to learn. A lot that we think that, you know, well, I know this, so I don't have to know that. And that's not what any of the scriptures say. They say we need to know these things. Forgiveness is not casual. Grace grace isn't sloppy. Grace isn't haphazard. grace is intentional. And grace isn't extended because of who we are. But from the very beginning, when God first extended his grace, he says, but I'm doing this not because you guys are acting right. And this is all the way back with the Northern Kingdom, all the way back with Judah. I'm not doing this stuff because you deserve it. That's what God was saying to all through the scriptures. I'm not doing these good things for you because you deserve it. Well, sometimes it was. But there were times he says, the only reason I'm pulling you out of this fire is for my name's sake. Because you guys are the progenitors of my name, of Hashem. So I'm doing this for Hashem, not for you guys. You guys are lucky that you were born into this. That's what the scriptures were saying, constantly chastising us into proper behavior. So this is, this isn't our first go around. We've been here before where we didn't know what forgiveness was. We've been here before when we didn't understand. And I'm talking about us historically, humanity, when we didn't know what grace was. And Jesus came to show us, tell us what grace is, and to show us about forgiveness and what happens with our heart and what happens with our whole soul and our body and our spirit when we forgive and we find that place. So what does that look like? That looks like, I'm sorry I hurt you. Okay. And then own it. Oh, what, Leanna Grace? And then we own it. Repentance, all through this program, I say this is so you can own your own experience. We need to own our own experience, own our own repentance, and own our own forgiveness. So if I've offended you, let's say I gossip behind your back. Let's just say I did. And I go to you. And I say, you know what? I'm sorry I gossiped behind your back. They can say, okay, but that's not enough. Not from what the scriptures tell us. Not from what psychology tells us. And not from what the elephant in the room will tell us. And that is, we need to own it. So it goes something like this. I was gossiping about you because I was feeling insecure about me. Own the reason why you did it. Own it. And if you can't own it to another person, at least own it to God. Because then, if you own it, then you have authority to make it change. If you don't own it, you don't have the authority to make it change, and it will remain an elephant in the room. It also will remain a shadow, something that you have to either just completely suppress all the time, make an excuse for, look the other way, avoid your friend, da-da-da-da-da. The thing of it is that the trust will not heal unless the breaking of the trust is owned by both persons, if it's both persons involved. And it usually is best face-to-face. Other than that, the only thing that's remembered is the hurt. Until the time of making it right, what's remembered by either party is the hurt. And if one did a sucker punch, then the sucker punch remembers that he's a sucker, and the one that got punched remembers that he's a sucker puncher, whatever. It becomes the elephant in the room. Just like everybody pretending that we're going to have some kind of a debate over an election that's coming up when we haven't even resolved the legalities of the last one that was stolen. I'm hoping that I'm drawing a good enough parallel here. And the repentance comes before forgiveness. Am I going to forgive the ones that stole it? Not until they own it. They need to own it. They say, yep, we did this and we stole it. We're willing to pay the price. Okay, I can forgive that. I can move on. But this is a point. This is a hill worth fighting on. This is a hill worth falling on. This is a hill worth dying on. Our voice, our very representation was stolen. And then there's a press to move on. Some are saying a full court press. I guess four indictments sitting on the table in the middle of an election. Yeah, I guess that's a full court press. Amazing. And they have the unmitigated gall to continue to lie to our face. Now, I do want to say a little bit about those who have survived the Hawaii fires. You know, and I just, you know, I'm hoping that the Patriots do continue to come together and raise funds and help those out who need help, that we're able to get some emergency shelters for them, not a camp, but some shelters for them and some good food and clean water and all the rest. You say, well, they're surrounded by ocean. Yeah, but they still need good food and clean water and all the rest of that. So our hearts and our prayers go out to them, you know, and also prayers for those who are capable and empowered to help, that they will be moved to do so, that they will answer the call to help their fellow humanity out, and that also that the Father in heaven will bind the hands of those who would try to interfere with the aid getting to those who need it most. I'm sure that in a few more days we'll get to the bottom of the starting and the continuation and the appearance of these fires that has absolutely devastated Maui and Lahaina, I suppose, in particular. It's a shame what we have to witness. But, you know, the deep state's fighting back, and they want us to look everywhere except where we need to be looking, which is exactly where the crime, Election Crime Bureau was pointing, and that is to taking our election back, and all of us together, you know, and here's the, you know, they keep saying this chant of the whole world's watching. Yeah, the whole world is watching. And they're watching us stand firm, and they're watching us do this right. We're not yet taking to the streets. We're not yet. We don't have to yet, because we still are exercising some legal avenues. But remember also, when all legal avenues that are set in place to represent, you know, to defend the Constitution and to represent the people and to carry out our laws, when the DOJ fails us, when all of our criminal justice system fails us, when the government, as it supposedly is supposed to be, fails us, those who remain faithful to their oath to the Constitution must move in. Not should, not this, not that, not, well, wonder if we could. No, we must move in and stop it. Now, thank you. Thank the Lord and thank God and thank our representatives, let me clear my throat. Dare I say leaders at this point, that they've already set in motion those things that need to happen so that should the military need to take action on the street, it's already cleared legally, and it is a last resort. And Lahaina is a reminder of the lengths that they will go to distract us, to destroy, and otherwise cause harm. I am your host, Leanna Grace. I hope you found value in tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. I'm talking about the two elephants in the room with the Great Awakening. The two elephants. The election was stolen. Give it back. And repentance comes before forgiveness. Keeping that in mind also, the wicked do not repent. We do not owe them grace. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We've been broadcasting live from the high mountain desert, and I'm reminding you too, as always, to watch for those signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, and to do something good as we learn to forgive. Until next time. Good night.